shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't. We thank Doug Danger for the hour we spent with Doug talking about the software, tracking software that some phones have. There is a lawsuit being filed. I don't know. Maybe it's something that can be solved without a massive, a massive effort in court. And we'll certainly find out. I have a cell phone. I don't believe that it's on my phone. I have an iPhone. I know I've got a camera on my iPhone, but I keep my iPhone turned off most of the time, although it's not turned off. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, but that camera, it's probably looking at you when you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate for that to happen, you know. It's not looking at me while I'm going to the bath. Don't worry about it. You know, you're listening to too much Doug Danger.
Well, that's what he's saying.
No, I understand that. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget the Phil Hendry Show website. Get a backstage pass and watch our nightly videocasts. And, in fact, we have a five-day archive of the videocast. If you miss a show, you can go back and check out which show you missed. All there, on video, with the audio. People are very funny. They say, can I stream the audio of your show? Yes, you can. As a matter of fact, you can stream the audio of our show for free, if you'd like, the next day. What we do is provide a streaming file on our website. So even if you're not a subscriber to our website, you can hear the show in its entirety the next day listening to that streaming file. If you become a Backstage Pass member, then of course those shows are available to you as downloads to your iPod or wherever. But you can certainly hear the show the next day on that using that streaming file. And as I mentioned, we have our five-day video archive. And then we've got archives that go back many, many years. So check out our website, philhendryshow.com. And become a Backstage Pass member. Is it the end of the line for Herman Cain? Well, rapidly becoming a mere footnote in the presidential race, Herman Cain sent mixed signals on Friday on whether he would abandon his beleaguered White House bid on Saturday, that would be tomorrow, after a woman's allegation of an extramarital affair. He said he would make a major announcement on whether he would press on at an event still being billed as the grand opening of a new headquarters. It is the latest and perhaps final twist in a campaign saga that has taken the Georgia businessman from unknown long shot to surprise front runner to embattled tabloid subject. He arrived at his suburban Atlanta home on Friday afternoon to talk with his wife of 42 years, Gloria, about whether to press on after his campaign was rocked by multiple sexual harassment allegations and this week's claim that he had a 13-year affair with one of these people that's alleging this. He denies wrongdoing. It was their first face-to-face meeting since the allegation was made public. Excuse me. So this is all very sordid, and sometimes if you're like me, you feel like you're being treated like you're an imbecile. They're talking to us like we're stupid. Do you ever get that sense? No, I didn't. Well, they're talking to us. I understand there's somebody saying one thing, somebody else is saying something else. Well, we certainly recognize that somewhere there is a lie being told. Not somebody has another interpretation of the facts. There's a lie being told, or so it would seem. Let's get on the line here where we have Larry Grover on from the Orange County, conservatives of Kern County. Larry is a longtime contributor, and he's at an event tonight for conservatives of Kern County, a fundraiser for local California candidates running for the state legislature. Larry, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and we have raised quite a bit of money for our conservative slate that is going to be running for a state senate here, and as well as the conservative slate that will be running in the San Joaquin Valley. And I want people who are listening to your program nationally to know that the conservative effort in our state and in all the other states of the United States of America, the conservative effort, the grassroots conservative effort, pushes on whether or not we have a Herman Cain or a Rick Perry. We're going to make our philosophy, we're going to make our views, and we're going to make what we think is the program, the agenda, and the platform for the resurrection and the reclamation of America is going to be very much in evidence in the elections in 2012. So I don't want anybody to get any misunderstanding there.
You are still very much involved with conservatives of Kern County, although you've moved into Southern California after your divorce, and pretty much it's been a tough run, hasn't it?
Well, It has, but I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about Herman Cain. But yes, you're right. After the divorce, I wound up really involving myself heavily in conservative politics. And in that time, I was trying to get Bill Clinton, helping to get Bill Clinton to read the handwriting on the wall and get Bill Clinton to see the truth and speak the truth and leave the White House when he should have, and he never did. In the meantime, Bill Clinton is now living a pretty good life, and I am living with, at my mother's house. I have a cot that is on a service porch, and that's what my life has become. And the reason why it's become that way is because I am a patriot. I love my country. I care very much for what happens to this country. I'm not running around trying to have sex with every woman I see. And when you don't run around and try to have sex with every woman you see and you treat women with respect, you wind up sleeping on a cot on a service porch at your mother's house when you're in your 40s.
That sounds a little,
Does it sound bitter?
It sounds a little bitter.
Well, I can tell you it's true. It's very true. I've accepted that's the reality. When you treat women with respect and you're not trying to have sex with everything that walks or crawls, you wind up sleeping on a cot on your mother's service porch. Now let that roll around for a few minutes. And people that are listening right now, if the conservative movement stands for anything, it stands for being strong and being forthright, even in the face of that kind of humiliation. And that's why I'm a longstanding conservative.
That is not what I would call, though, Larry, and I understand what you're saying, having good moral backbone.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, but I don't think that that's a great recommendation. Say, hey, I'm a conservative, and what that means is, because I have respect for women and I don't have sex with everything that moves, I sleep on a cot on a service porch at my mother's house.
Well, maybe I'm missing something. What else does it mean? Because you know that's exactly what my life has come to. I'm not complaining. Because we're talking about Herman Cain here. And I want to tell you something about Herman Cain. And I'll tell you something about a lot of men of power and a lot of men who have political power and a lot of men who have influence and a lot of men who are going to be president of the United States. I respect them. And Herman Cain I respect. I like Herman Cain. I'd vote for Herman Cain. And I think it's a damn shame that something that these men engage in that I believe the wives are fully aware of, and I believe that the wives and the husbands, and in this case Herman Cain and his wife Gloria, I think the understanding is very easy. This is something I do. I'm a powerful man. Women are attracted to me, and I'm not going to deny my essence to women. And the wife, knowing the life that he's provided for her, accedes to that. She assents to that and says, all right, but if you get caught, I don't know who you are. You're on your own. Now, that's what's going on. And the hypocrisy here is not the hypocrisy of the men. I think it's really the hypocrisy of the women. I can't. When I look back on Elliot Spitzer and his wife standing there next to him, and I don't like Elliot Spitzer. He's a typical liberal. But in that situation, his wife put on this act that was an Academy Award-winning performance. And she should have gotten Best Actress for whatever year that was, looking for all the world like she was just the heartbroken and like a bomb hit her. I don't know if she got any help with her makeup. I don't know if somebody messed her hair up like that. But
you think that woman stood there and she was a phony baloney?
I think that Spitzer, Herman Cain, and all of them. I think the American people have got to get used to something, Phil, and I just closed the window in here. I think the American people have got to get used to something. I think the American people have to get used to the fact that we have very powerful men and very powerful people in politics that have these extramarital affairs, and we better start growing up about it and recognize that this isn't just something that they do. The wives know about it. They've got a very perfectly good agreement. Everyone knows whatever everybody's doing. She knows that he's got these girlfriends. He knows that he's providing her with a great living. And the only thing that they say to each other is, if you get caught, and this is the wife saying this, if you get caught, I don't know who you are. I will disavow knowledge of you. And you've heard in the, and if you've ever read the spy novels or whatever you want to call them, in the CIA, that's exactly what they do. They say, if you get caught, I don't know you, I don't want to know you. You don't exist, you aren't an American, you don't, we never heard of you.
Well, I mean, you're being a little facetious, aren't you?
In what way?
Well, if you get caught, I don't know you.
But what I'm saying is, if you get caught, we never had an agreement. We never had an agreement saying that I know you are going to have sex with other women, and I'm going to look the other way, because that's the deal.
And you believe that that is the case with Herman Cain and other women married to men of power?
I'm telling you, it has to be, because this is happening all the time. And if you think about it, why are we children? Why do we not believe that a man of power like a Herman Cain is not going to have women on the side? I see that. I recognize that. I don't have that because I devoted my life to being one of the foot soldiers. And what did I get? As a foot soldier, I got a cot on a service porch and a job at a print shop. That's what I get. See? But Herman Cain, he gets all of the goodies.
Are you bitter about that?
No, I'm not.
You support Herman Cain?
I support him 100%.
And you believe that he should be allowed to have affairs?
That's not the... He's having affairs. And so is Rick Perry. And so is Mitt Romney. And so is Huckabee. All of them are having affairs. Some of them do it better than others, and all the wives know about it. Let's start talking truth and quit playing like we're kids.
All right, Larry Grover on the line with us here on the Phil Henry Show as he talks about the Herman Cain situation. It's not unique. It's something that is experienced by all politicians, all men of power. They all have girlfriends, and we are naive to think that not only are we naive to think they don't, but we're naive not to accept it. The wives accept it. Now, that's one that is going to take a little discussion. And the agreement is, I accept it, but if you get caught by the press, quote, you're on your own, I don't know you. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. We're going to be back here with Larry Grover and more on the possible end of the line for Herman Cain. Today here on the West Coast, another 47 minutes or so, but it's already today back east, and so on Saturday, Herman Cain is supposed to make some announcement. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Hold on for just a second here. We got disconnect there. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Larry Grover on the line with us from Conservatives of Kern County, a political action committee that is all about conservative politics. And Larry's joining us to discuss the Herman Cain situation. I appreciate you leaving. You're at a fundraiser. I know, Larry, but it's a lot quieter in the office that you're in right now.
I hope that's a little bit better, because I did think it was probably we were getting some extraneous noise.
No, it's much better. So what you're telling me here is that what Herman Cain may or may not be involved in, I don't know. You know.
Oh, I think we have to assume that there's something to what they're saying. I don't think that I am not shocked, and I'm not appalled, and I'm not worried, and I'm not concerned. The morality of this kind of thing, Phil, is well established. It's been established for perhaps hundreds of years. In the case of the United States of America and politics in America, this has been well established for at least 100 years, that these men of power, the political figures that are running for president of the United States, or if they're running for any political office, are powerful men and they have women. And I believe the wives are complicit. And I think the sooner that we face this, the quicker we're going to get on with the business of running this country.
So, in other words, all of my concern as a citizen would go out the window in your mind, because this has been going on so long
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about this as being something new. It's not new. What's new is the fact that I'm telling you that the women know that this is going on, and for a price, they keep quiet. And the minute that the press gets a hold of the information, the women say to the men, that's what I what do they say in the CIA? I give up. I deny all knowledge of you.
And well, they're not, it's not literally that way, you know.
No, it's not literally that way, but in my life, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me when I got, when I flew too close to the sun, I wound up with nothing. My wife got everything, and I work at a print shop, and I'm, you know, I don't want people to feel sorry for me, but what I'm saying to you is this. I work at a print shop, Phil. I do wedding invitations for people that come in. That's what I do. I don't have Herman Cain's life. You know why? Because I treat women with respect. I don't, I'm not out trying to have sex with everything that even remotely looks female. And Herman Cain does. Jack Kennedy did. Rick Perry does, in my opinion. They all do. I say more power to them. That's what those guys do. Let's move on. Let's start, you know.
Let's move on and let's start what? I mean, you're a guy. You say you treat women with respect. These guys don't treat women with respect, and therefore, this is the life that they have.
This is about more than that. This is about the presidency of the United States of America.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. I got Jonathan on the line. Jonathan, go ahead. You're on the line here with Larry Grover.
Yes, Mr. Grover, you're outrageous.
Yes, sir.
You're outrageous, sir. Do you really believe that women in power always have men on the side as well?
That they come. I didn't say that, did I? Men? I didn't say that, did I? I didn't say that.
I'm asking you, do you?
I don't know. That's not my area of interest. I'm talking about men. How many women run for president?
Well, right now,
none.
We
all right,
have
so let's talk about reality.
We have
let's
two
talk about reality.
For president.
Who?
Michelle Bachmann.
You got Bachmann?
And possibly Sarah Palin.
All right, then yes, then Bachmann, no. Women, I don't know if you know this about women, but they view sex differently from men.
That's a sexist presumption.
Maybe you don't know, maybe you don't know much about women. Do you know much about women? I do. I wound up sleeping on a service porch. I wound up sleeping on a cot on a service porch because of a... You don't know anything about women. I can tell by your voice. You sound like you're strapped to a wheelchair.
Oh, come on, will you?
That's insulting.
Huh?
What do you mean, my voice?
You sound disabled. Are you disabled, yes or no?
I am fully abled. I am fully abled. How about yourself? You sound mentally disabled. You do.
Why? I sound mentally disabled because why? Because I accept the reality that powerful men have women? Are you kidding? What fairyland do you live in? No, better not tell me.
I live in reality. I don't think you can make
better not tell me. I want
to.
I don't want to know. I might have driven through there a few times.
Okay, but look at Larry. The insults, the personal insults of this man.
Well, no, he's the guy that called me mentally disabled.
You said you asked him if he was disabled. Now I want to find out. First of all, I want to find out what are you guys talking about? Because I don't think you're having a conversation. Okay.
I told you what I'm talking about. Does this guy know what he's talking about?
Yes, I do.
Well, what's your point, Jonathan? What do you want to say?
My point is, let's judge each person by the according to an individual. Let's not make a sweeping statement that all people in power have men or women on the side. Some do, some don't.
I mean, how many times do we have to hear that a guy's got 15 girlfriends before we finally accept the truth? What is it with you? How many times do you want to hear the story that, oh, he's got a girlfriend. Oh, he's got a woman on his side. Look at this. He's got four other girls. And we keep finding this stuff out. We find it out about presidents. We find it out about candidates. I say let's accept that this is what they do. And let's also remember this. The women, they know all about it. Don't worry about that. They know all about it. And they let it happen until the press gets a hold of it. And then the women say, you can twist in the breeze for all I care. It happened to me.
Well, no, it didn't happen to you, Larry. What happened to you was your wife divorced you because you were ignoring her. And
it's the same thing that happened to me. I've noticed my friend Jonathan here, maybe sucking his lunch through a straw, I don't know, but he hasn't got anything to say. And you want to know why? Because what I've just said makes perfect sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. I think you're just...
Well, then why are you... You know that you've just wasted Mr. Hendry's time with your rotten phone call.
Hey, listen, I will be the judge. Thank you very much, Jonathan, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover with us on Herman Cain and Men of Power. They all have girlfriends, so let's grow up and accept that. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here this evening. Just had the phone system go down, bud.
Yeah, sorry, got a disconnect. I better call him up.
Well, no, the guys in Medford can hear us. We might have lost our phone system. It could very well be some sort of a glitch, some kind of...
I'm saying like a what do they call a sunspot?
Yeah, a lot of time a sunspot.
Could be a sunspot, could be something atmospheric, but I can see that we are definitely having a problem pulling calls up here on our phone system. But we do have hanging on the line. Did you get Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Dr. Jim Sadler. We do have Larry Grover on the line with us. We're going to talk a little bit more with Larry about, you know, really what he has brought to the table today by way of a couple of blogs and some other things, and that is that the Herman Cain situation is a situation that we're all going to have to get used to, because this is the way of the world. This is the way of politicians. This is the way of powerful men. And to be bleating on about it, and I'm using your words, Larry, by the way, to bleat on with it. And when you say bleat on, it's like you're saying, you know, we're sheep or something.
Well, you look at Phil, we sound like sheep when we go on and on and on about how this guy is he has a girlfriend. Phil, are we blind? Are we completely blind idiots? Do we not look at history and see the powerful men who were great men, who led this country and led this world out of chaos, and yet in their personal lives they had proclivities that perhaps in our most school-marmish ways we might wag our fingers at and disapprove of, but do we really hold those men to the same standards as the rest of us? I like to think that I am something special, but I realize that I'm not. I am not anything special. I sleep on a cot on a service porch. I like to think that maybe someday I could have the same kind of possibilities that Herman Cain has. But until that day arrives, I'm not Herman Cain. I sleep on a cot. I'd like to have women, but I will not treat a woman like she is a... like she's a prostitute. I won't treat her as if she's something that I purchased for the weekend. And
but when you become powerful enough, will you?
When I become powerful enough, women will want me to treat them like I bought them.
And but so this is your view of women, huh?
Hey, let me just say something, Mr. Henry. I was married. Okay.
You might have been married, and I know that you have four daughters. This is your view of... You had a wife, and you have four daughters. This is your view of women?
You know, Bill, please don't get high and mighty. My view of women...
I'm not being high and mighty. You said that if you ever get enough power, that women are going to want you to treat them like you just bought them.
Some women. And those are the women who will say, you go out and have sex with anything that walks or crawls, but if the press finds out, I don't know you, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead to me.
Do you think Herman Cain's wife has said that to him?
Basically, yes. Yes, she has.
Well, I mean, Elliot Spitzer's wife didn't say that to him.
And you know, we saw the act that she put on, and that's the act that they want to put on, which is she looked like the abused spouse. She looked like the woman who had been wronged. She looked, she had it going, I mean, she looked great. Well, how do you know, as soon as they got out of that room and they went to the privacy of their home, that she didn't rail on him like some kind of a witch, some kind of a bar bitch, crawling up one side and down the next. And
what do you mean a bar bitch? What is that supposed to? In other words, what?
What I'm saying is, how do you know that when they left that room, she was all over Elliot Spitzer like white on rice, and he sat there like a little boy being chastised?
Oh, you know something, man. I he doesn't strike me like that kind of a guy, and I think what you're doing now is you're creating scenarios to further some view you have that is simply concocted so that the political point of view is furthered. Herman Cain, whoever, let him have girlfriends, the wives are to blame. I'm a conservative, that's all I want.
No, you got it all wrong. Once again, you got it wrong. Once again, you have it wrong. And that's the thing that shocks me. When you get it wrong once, that's fine. But you get it wrong 1, 2, 3, 6, 10 every time I'm on your show.
No, I have not gotten it wrong simply because you tell me I've gotten it wrong, Larry. All right, hold on for a minute because I want to get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line here from San Diego. Dr. Sadler, who is a individual that we get on the show quite a bit, and he talks with us about, well, psychological issues. This has got more to do, really, with... This has more to do, I think, with, I guess, the sexual politics between men and women. Is it a psychological issue, Dr. Sadler? Is it anything that, how do we deal with it as voters?
Well, I'm listening to Mr. Grover, who does have an overly cynical view of women in light of the fact that Mr. Grover, you said, Phil, I thought I heard you say he has four daughters.
I love my daughters very much. I love, don't even go there because anyone that hurt my daughters, words do not describe adequately what would happen to them. In fact, I was on the phone, Phil, with Margaret Gray, who's a very good friend of yours, and she and I were talking about what would happen to any individual that harmed our family. And
yes, I know. And I know Margaret's view, and I know your view, and I think that that is a bit proper, although it sounds, in your case and in hers, sometimes a little bit extreme.
Well, let me jump in here, because I understand you, Larry. I think very much so you would defend your family. I don't doubt that for a moment, which makes me wonder why you would have a very sexist view in a lot of ways about women and think that they are... duplicitous, manipulative, almost sociopathic in their view of their marriage and relationship, that as long as they get what they want, they will allow the husband to do whatever he wants. And if he's caught by the press, you said that the wife would, quote, I don't know you. Ain't that what you, or is that what you said?
Well, no, what I said was, if they're caught, then the wife, yes, as in the CIA, will deny all knowledge. Now, I don't mean that literally. Obviously, they're married.
Well, that's what confused me. They're married, so she does know him.
Yes, of course she knows him, but in the eyes of the public, Spitzer's wife, the other guy in Louisiana, I forget his name, Vittle or Vittner, or what's that guy's name, Phil?
I know who you're thinking of. I can't remember.
Isn't that interesting that we forget these people? Maybe they're not as indelibly traced on our memory as we think.
Well, that could be. Visser. No, I'm thinking of Leslie Visser this point. In any case, the guy that was in the diaper, do you know who that is?
I don't know of anyone in the diaper.
No.
Why did you bring that up?
I'm bringing up the fact that this guy in Louisiana wore a diaper.
Well, I think that's pretty interesting you're bringing that up.
Well, look at... Who cares? What's your point?
Well, my point is that his wife also must have known. How do you wear a diaper and your wife doesn't know? I'd like to get an answer on that.
You know, can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
No, but...
No, you're going down an area of inquiry that is making me uncomfortable, and I'm going to ask you, how do you know?
How do I know what?
My wife, who is much younger than me, I wear a diaper for sex. You understand? Now,
I didn't want to know anything about...
No, we're not talking about you, Dr. Sadler.
No, I know, yeah, that's what you say, but this guy kept on and on with the diaper. So I will tell you, in the spirit of being forthcoming, so that you and I can have a good, open dialogue, that I do wear a diaper.
But yeah, I don't...
So what? We're not talking about you.
Well, so what? He dragged it out of me. And I go into that infantile state, and I have even shed tears because it's not enough. It's just, it's not enough.
I don't, you know, I'm not interested in you wearing a diaper, all right? And say that you're not interested, and yet you, the diaper, till I can't take.
He didn't do that. He was talking about this guy in Louisiana, and I think because we couldn't remember the name, it sounded as if we were harping on the diaper aspect. There's no need for you to tell us about your private sexual proclivities, Dr. Sadler. I don't think that's not why I brought you on here, you know?
No, but as a therapist, I know which direction the dialogue is going. And I heard this man here, Grover, diaper. All I heard was diaper. That's not what I didn't say diaper. If you want to tell me you wear a diaper, that's your business, buddy. I'm not interested in it. Well, now I stand here alone, and I look like an ass, because I told you I put a diaper on.
Well, can we stop talking about your diaper?
I'd like to do that. Oh, so now what it is I'm really weird. You guys don't even want to...
You know something, Dr. Sadler, if you want to get off the phone...
No, I don't want to get off the phone, because then it's going to look like, you know, I'm some creep. It's going to look like I'm running away from the conversation. All I'm saying to you is the other politicians who have women on the side, their wives know. And I sent the guy with the diaper because I don't remember his name.
Neither do I, but it's a guy in Louisiana.
So you guys are pretending like me saying that I wear a diaper, you're going to forget about it.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to talk about it. I want to forget about it, and I want to move on. You brought it up for some reason.
Well, why don't you tell us? Why did you bring it up? I didn't bring it up. You brought it up when you kept saying diaper. And I thought you knew something. You know my wife? Do I know your wife? No, I don't know your wife. Boy, if you're lying to me. I'm not lying to you. I don't know your wife. You don't know Amber Sadler? Amber Sadler. No, I don't.
Dr. Sadler.
Hold on, Phil. Then what?
Dr. Sadler, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Please don't hang up on me.
And Larry, we're going to take a break. I think we need a break. And maybe we can pick this up sometime next week.
Wait, whoa. Hold the phone here. Just because you got that freak on from San Diego who almost started bawling because he says wearing a diaper isn't enough, I don't know what's that got to do with me getting hung up on?
Because the whole point of this conversation is now moot. Because the whole point of this conversation about the sexual proclivities of powerful men is weird, man. Because I just had a doctor of psychology say that he wears a diaper for sex and it's not enough, okay?
All right, but I mean, what's that got to do with me?
And with you, you're on a service porch on a cot. Just get out of here.
Want me to call him back?
Why would you call him back, bud?
Well, I thought you got disconnected.
I hung up. On both of them. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our news and information hour is coming up. 877-876-PHIL. And Saturday is just ahead here on the West Coast, here at the El Pacifico. It has mercifully arrived for most of you out there in Never Never Land. Saturday. So we'll be back here. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover with us. I don't know if Dr. Sadler wants to come back on the air. But Larry, we're talking with... we were talking about the idea that powerful men have sex with lots of women. Their wives know about it, and their wives assent to it. And you haven't really brought up much proof other than your instincts based upon your bad marriage and how your life has run off the tracks.
Phil, my wife, yes, my life has run off the tracks, okay? But my life has run off the tracks to the extent that I do not take advantage of women. I don't have the kind of life that a woman would be attracted to. I work at a print shop, and I sleep, I don't know how many times I need to tell you this, I'm on a cot. Do you understand that?
No, I understand that, Larry. I get that.
Well, then what is so difficult to understand?
I want you to repeat it for my audience. You're a loser. Is that what you're telling me?
many words, yes, I'm a loser. And you bring on this man, this psychologist, who should have the respect of so many people because he's a doctor and he's had that education and he's talking about wearing a diaper.
You and I were talking about the senator in Louisiana, and I can't remember his name, who wore a diaper during sex. This came out, and I think that's why Dr. Sadler got unwound. Let me get on to a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Monty. Hey, Monty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I'm a registered voter. I'm a truck driver. I'm no psychologist, and I don't sleep on the couch. My comment on this situation is, if a powerful man has to cheat on his wife, and his wife knows about it, they're both living a lie, how can he run a country? He's going to lie to us when he runs his country. If he can't run his marriage, how can he run the United States?
What about that, Larry?
Well, sir, they do. It's not how can he. They already have Dwight Eisenhower, John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson. My God, if we want to be naive, okay, but I think Ronald Reagan probably had girlfriends. So it's not how can they. They have done it. And
Go ahead, I'll listen to you.
Well, I was going to say, how long do we want to act like children and pretend it doesn't happen? And these are presidents of the United States. We've seen, of course, what's his name, the guy, World War II, run a country. Franklin Roosevelt won a world war. And God knows how many women he had.
Well.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if they can't run their marriage, if both of them know that he is cheating, therefore, they're not running their marriage. If they can't run the marriage, how can he run this country? He's going to be dishonest to us, too.
Wait a second. Didn't I just tell you about Franklin? Didn't I just tell you about Franklin Roosevelt? Are you telling me Franklin Roosevelt was a bad president?
Well, wait a minute. This man is saying that they're lying to each other.
Look at that. You saw what Franklin Roosevelt was married to. With all due respect to Eleanor Roosevelt, she was a wonderful woman. You take one look at her, man. Make a freight train, take a dirt road. You know it as well as I do.
So don't be disrespectful.
When this guy come out running for president, did he get up there and say, okay, I cheat on my wife? Did he get up there and tell us that? No, he didn't.
Neither did Franklin Roosevelt. And neither did what's his name, Kennedy or Eisenhower. He didn't say that either.
So you think that rich and powerful men should have two or three girlfriends and a wife?
I think we need to understand they need that, yes. And the wives, here's the part that gets, the thing that gets me is the wives know it, and when the press finds out, the wives drop these guys like they've got the plague. They drop them like they've got leprosy.
Okay, if he can't be faithful to his wife, how can he be faithful to his job? Tell me that.
Well, sir, how did Franklin Roosevelt do it? You want me to keep going?
You're going back on these examples. This man is asking a question that I think is a vital question. We can talk about Franklin Roosevelt being a great president. We can talk about Eisenhower being great presidents. What did they hold back from us? What were they lying to us about? You know,
are you trying to tell me, either one of you guys trying to tell me that Roosevelt wasn't a great president? He was a wartime leader.
I'm just simply saying that, you know, there was a war on, so that brings out a lot of heroic things in people. But let's say that it was peacetime, and there was just the mundane lifetime of America, and you've got a president, the man's speaking about honesty, and I think it's a very valid question. Thank you very much, Monty, for your question. 877-876-PHIL, 877-
Hold on for a minute. First of all, that guy sounded like Slim Pickens. You know it as well as I do. Secondly,
what guy?
The guy I was just talking to. If that wasn't the guy flying that bomber in Strangelove, you know, Henry, you could play your games, and you can play your games and play your games. But when you play a game with me, buddy, you better bring a referee and a whistle.
What are you talking about?
Get a load of him. What am I talking? The guy that I just talked to, was that Slim Pickens?
No, it wasn't Slim Pickens. That guy's Slim Pickens, not even alive anymore.
The guy in Strangelove who wrote the bomb, was that him?
No, that wasn't him.
You're lying.
You know, I'm getting tired of being called a liar. Sadler called me a liar, which, by the way, Dr. Sadler, let me get Dr. Sadler on the line. Dr. Sadler, you there, sir?
Yes, Phil.
Okay, are you calmed down?
Am I calmed down? Let me explain something.
I didn't get I wasn't uncalm. I got called on the carpet because of certain practices which are in the privacy of my home with my wife that this man wanted to make an issue out of.
I didn't hear that, but I, you know, let me just go to another phone call. We have on the line here, Stacy. Stacy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler and Larry Grover. Go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, I'd like to put my two cents in about, you know,
yes, ma'am.
Cheating and, you know, mm-hmm. Powerful men. Yeah, they all do it. We all know it. I don't even know what mm-hmm. the discussion is. They do because they can. And I'm sorry,
the women,
that, I don't know.
The discussion
one of these
is the
guys,
women know it's happening. The women know it's
yeah,
happening and they let it happen.
Exactly. And it's really sad. And you had just said they dump them like that, but half of them, which is more sad, stay with them. And they stand next to them and they act like, oh.
I have to get out of the tub now. Should I?
Yeah, you get out of the tub, Dr. Sadler. Jeez.
Oh, okay. You know, all you people. Forget it.
Phil Hendry.
I wear a diaper.